the country of Malta. And so in just a few weeks, March 7th, we will be back giving a full presentation about the country, about the mission field of Malta, as well as we'll be sharing our testimony and things. And so we certainly look forward to being back then. I'll just give a brief overview of the country of Malta. It's located in the Mediterranean, just south of Italy. So it's a population of just over 500,000 people, but it is 98% Catholic. So there's very few Bible-preaching evangelical churches in the whole country, and so we'll be working with some Baptist and Missions missionaries. So we certainly look forward to even sharing more about that in just a couple of weeks from now. Our text this morning is Luke 19:10. We'll be looking at a very well-known story. Many of us have learned, even from a young age, the story of Zacchaeus. And even the whole story is a backdrop to Luke 19:10, which is, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost," a very well-known verse. So we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. It says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at your love to us. We praise you for your grace and your mercy that you show to us on a daily basis. And we just ask now that you would work through your word to just transform us, to become more like Christ, that by your Spirit you would help us to apply these truths in our lives. We'll praise you for this in your name. Amen. As he mentioned, my dad is Randy Tanis. He is the camp director of Camp Shatek. Before that, he was a youth pastor in Watertown, Wisconsin. And I have five siblings, and so what that meant is we got to grow up in a big family, in a ministry setting. And so one thing was certain, of wherever we were always trying to save money. And one of the most common ways to do that is coupons. And so if you've ever tried to use coupons, you know sometimes how much money you can save, but you also know the work that goes into coupons. And many times with coupons, there are certain conditions that have to be met. Sometimes it's a certain brand, sometimes it's a certain quantity, but there's also expiration dates on coupons. And sometimes if you're in the checkout lane trying to use any type of coupon, and it doesn't meet one of those conditions, you'll find out that the coupon is rejected. And this can apply to many different things, but it certainly isn't fun to have those, you know, you're trying to save some money and you see, for whatever reason, the conditions weren't met, and so you weren't able to use a coupon. And yet coupons aren't the only thing in life that have conditions. Often, we as believers can put conditions on showing love. And so as we read about the unconditional love of Christ, unfortunately, our love is often conditional. And so we would say to any person that we ought to be showing unconditional love. And when we look at it practically, many times there are specific conditions that must be met before we're willing to show love. And so from this text, as we look at today, we'll see that unconditional love ought to be shown unconditionally. And it might sound simple, and certainly we would all nod our heads and agree, certainly we should show our unconditional love unconditionally. And yet, we'll see from this text, and we'll see it modeled, how unconditional love ought to be shown. And so, well, first observation that we see is the condition of the rejected. And so Luke lays before us a new character. If we notice the word behold here, it says in verse 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." And so as we're reading through this story, this is a new character. Luke's kind of grabbing our attention. Here's somebody new that enters into the story. And so the only thing we know of Zacchaeus is what is described here in the text. And so Luke lays out what a rejected person looked like. We see that rejected people are, first of all, unpopular. And so we get to see Luke's description is very clear. He says, Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. So if you were trying to talk about someone popular, those aren't the two terms you'd want to be using of someone. Rather, we see from the whole book of Luke, the two most unpopular terms you could use of somebody is to be a chief tax collector and to be rich. And so even if we look at Zacchaeus, we look at where this story is taking place, we're going to notice that Zacchaeus is a smart man. It says in verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And so we find ourselves in a very well-known toll place. Zacchaeus knew what he was doing. And if he was trying to get rich, trying to get these taxes collected, he knew that Jericho was an excellent place to go through, a major customs center. And so we find ourselves where Zacchaeus has set up shop there. And anybody that's going to be collecting taxes from someone isn't going to be very popular. Not only is he a tax collector, he's also someone who is rich. And so just imagine the view of a Jew towards someone who's working for Rome, someone who's rich and collecting all of their taxes. You certainly can imagine this is a very unpopular man. The crowd, the people around him are not going to view Zacchaeus very kindly. Even if we just look back one chapter, we see the description even of the well-known story of the Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. And so here's a list he describes. And so you can see who would be some of the unpopular people. We have extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. And so you see in Luke 18, the tax collector is not painted very well. But even of rich people, we also see that in Luke 18. We see just a few verses later, it talks about when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so we see the tax collector description. We see the description of someone who is rich. And so to start off the story, as Zacchaeus getting these descriptions, you understand he's not very popular. Even we understand the portrayal of the rich so far throughout Luke. They're presented as fools or callous and even unable to respond to Jesus. And so we look at this day and certainly we'd say, well, yeah, Zacchaeus would be someone unpopular. And yet if we look around our neighborhoods today, we have to ask ourselves who might be the unpopular person on our street or in our community. And unfortunately, no matter what neighborhood we live in, there's always going to be someone that's sometimes viewed as either unpopular or maybe rejected. And it could be the presence of wealth in some neighborhoods. It could be the lack of wealth in other neighborhoods. Or someone that maybe we disagree with. But whatever it is, oftentimes we find, whether it's how we view them or that they're unpopular around our friends, we often put up conditions to showing our love. And so whatever it might be, these views, just as the crowds were putting up these conditions of showing anything to Zacchaeus, he was unpopular. He was rich and a tax collector. And so they had put up conditions that they would not be showing him any type of kindness. So we see that rejected people are unpopular. But we also see that rejected people are unwelcome. So you just imagine, here is a chief tax collector and someone that was rich. So then verse 3 says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So we certainly, as we read that, in the first glance, we might say, well, he was short, and that's a bummer, he couldn't see Jesus. And if we just imagine the crowd there, if there's someone who's popular and well-known, and they see somebody not able to see the crowd, you can imagine how easy it would be for them to part the crowd and let the shorter person go through. And yet, as people are turning around and looking at who's behind them, you're seeing how the crowd is treating Zacchaeus. The fact that none of them would be willing to move to make way for this unpopular and rejected man. And so as we see this, we not only see that the crowd, we can just imagine what the crowd was unwilling to give any type of room for Zacchaeus to see him. But even verses 7, we see the crowd complain and grumble as well. Even as they talk about Jesus' his response around Zacchaeus. Verse 7 says of the crowd, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled." And then they say, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And so we see how unwelcome Zacchaeus is, how cold the crowd is to him. As we consider what it's like to be a rejected person, someone that's unpopular, someone that's unwelcome, you can even maybe think of an experience in your life where you may have been unwelcome, whether it was sometimes moving to a new area, or maybe as a kid if you ever had to change schools, or even sometimes having to move to a different church. Those first couple of weeks, sometimes it's not fun to be maybe ignored or not noticed. Yet you can imagine for Zacchaeus then how painful it would be to be unwelcome where he is. And so as we look at the people around us, even those that are rejected for whatever reason, just imagine how painful it is to be unwelcomed. And yet as we look around us, so often it can be easy to let our lives do the same, that we put up conditions, and if this person is maybe a little different than what we're comfortable being around, we aren't willing to go welcome ourselves to them, to introduce ourselves, to show kindness to someone. And yet we find if someone looks similar to us, they might have the same interests, we accept them with open arms. So we're watching this rejected person in the description Luke gives of him. But then he continues on, and we see in verse 4 that rejected people are searching. So just imagine someone that's been rejected, unwelcome. But at the same time, Zacchaeus, he was searching, trying to find answers. And so we see that in the description. And so he couldn't see because of the crowd. And so what does he do? Instead of walking away, he does the opposite. Verse 4 says, "So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree." And so just, you get to see this man, Zacchaeus, who's so curious about what and who Jesus is. So we get to watch him not just go to a new spot, but he's willing to embarrass himself, to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. So maybe he had heard some stories about who Jesus was. Maybe he wanted to see what this big deal was about. And yet whatever it was, you certainly see Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took to see Jesus. So even as we see back in verse 3, it says, "And he was seeking to see who Jesus was." And so it wasn't just one try and then he was done. He was continually trying to find a way so that he could see who Jesus was. And so even imagine yourself. Maybe there's been a time where you've had a chance to see a celebrity. Or maybe it's a famous athlete. And maybe if you even have the chance to get really close to someone, you can imagine how someone maybe you've looked up to or enjoyed. And if you have the opportunity to be close to them, you can maybe imagine how nervous you might be. Certainly, I know as a young kid, I got to go to, sometimes they would have different practice events. And I grew up in Wisconsin, and so for us, it would be the Packers. But many times, different teams have in preseason the opportunity sometimes to meet the players. And so as a young kid, I know how nervous I was that the opportunity to maybe get an autograph from an athlete or even to get to high-five someone. And so you can just imagine, even for Zacchaeus, how nervous he might have been to get to actually meet Jesus. But we also see of how searching he was. He wanted to find these answers. And so as we look at that, oftentimes the people that are rejected and unwelcome in our society are some of the people that are most open, looking for answers, looking to find truth. They've tried so many things in life and have been turned away. And yet so often we neglect them. We decide not to show love to them. We put up conditions to our love. As we see from this text, that's not how unconditional love ought to be shown. And so Luke describes for us the rejected. He gives us what a rejected person looks like. But now the story shifts from the description of Zacchaeus, and now we get to watch the pursuit of the rejected. We get to see how Jesus then is willing to respond. We certainly see how the crowd responded to Zacchaeus, but now we get to watch Jesus and his response to Zacchaeus. And so we get to see that unconditional love initiates. What's amazing, even throughout this whole passage, we get to watch Christ model for us what unconditional love should look like. And so as we see him initiate, we see in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.'" So Jesus, you imagine, even all the weight that's on his shoulders, just a few verses later, he's going to be going and ultimately carrying his cross and dying on the cross. And yet, here's Jesus taking time, even looking up in a sycamore tree, and being willing to talk to Zacchaeus. He could have ignored him and said, I'm too busy. And he could have put up conditions to say, I can't show love to this man. But instead, it's the opposite. He initiates this interaction with Zacchaeus. And so we even get to watch as he says, I must stay at your house. So you can imagine Zacchaeus, who's been rejected and unwelcomed and unpopular by all these people. And yet here's Jesus, not only talking to him, but even initiating this conversation, inviting him into his own house. So what's amazing is we get to see Christ again modeling for us unconditional love. What's amazing is that throughout the Gospels, we get to watch Christ do this time and time again. As he initiates conversations, he has meals with the rejected, with the outcasts. So even as we look at Luke 4:18, we says the Spirit, we see that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so then as you look at that text, you see that Jesus talking to Zacchaeus wasn't just a little accident. This is at the core of who Jesus was, of showing love to those around him, and sometimes those that were the most rejected and unwelcomed in society. And we see in Luke 7, it says, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. So as we see that, know that of Christ's ministry, then when we come to this, this shouldn't surprise us that we get to watch Christ model this unconditional love to Zacchaeus. And so he's initiating this, seeking out Zacchaeus as well. And even as we think about that, oftentimes it's easy to set aside Zacchaeus as the unrejected, and we set ourselves differently in the story. And then if we look at the gospel story in our lives, we have to remember that each and every one of us once was rejected. We were alienated from Christ. And so sometimes it's easy to think about maybe there's other people around us. We ourselves once were the rejected, the unpopular. Yet as we look at, we know in Colossians 1:21 it says, and you once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You hath he reconciled. So as we look at that, we ought to be amazed at the love that Christ initiated and showed to us, that he has reconciled us. And so as we look at them and we watch Christ doing this with other people, hopefully that's our desires, that we as well can be reconcilers, that we can show this love to others. As Christ has showed unconditional love to us, now we get to do that to others. And so Christ didn't just tell us that we need to show unconditional love. He's modeled that for us. So it's amazing to watch as Christ pursued both the poor and the rich. He had no conditions on his unconditional love. So we see that unconditional love initiates, but unconditional love also submits to God's will. And so as we watch this, it's important for us to notice the phrase that Luke records. It says, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so if we watch this, when Jesus says, I must, it's something easy to glance over, and yet we see this multiple times in Luke. He says this phrase, I must, 15 times in Luke and 22 times in Acts. As we do this, Christ is specifically referring to God's will as he's recognizing his role to submit to God's will. And so as we watch this again, he says this, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. So Christ recognized the importance of submitting to God's will. That even in Christ's mission, he must submit to God's will, whatever he was doing. And we know even that mission, even just a few verses later, as it says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So Christ was willing to submit to God's will. He understood why even he came. And so if Christ was simply focused on his problems, the stress maybe that he had, all the issues that were going to face him, the people he needed to meet, it would have been very easy to skip right past Zacchaeus. And yet he knew God's will. He knew why he was on this earth. So we get to watch Christ model for us the importance of submitting to God's will. And yet so often in our times, the conditions we set up for our love are if they fit into our schedule. So if there's an opportunity, we'll look at our schedule first and our will and ask ourselves if we're able to do this. And maybe if it fits in that open hour on a Saturday, we're willing to show unconditional love to someone. But if it breaks into our schedule and is complicated for us, then oftentimes our will wins out over God's will. So the opportunity to take some time out of our day to help somebody, to help a neighbor, to help somebody in church, it only happens if it fits into our will. And that's not what Christ did. We watch him surrendering his will to God's will. And so as we look at that, we have to ask ourselves, are there conditions in my life? Is my schedule one of the conditions I put to showing unconditional love? As we watch this, as Christ submits to God's will, then we can ask ourselves first, is this God's will? Is God seeking me to be able to show unconditional love to someone before we look to our will and our schedule? So Christ models for us what it looks like to simply set aside our will. And when opportunities arise, when people are in need around us, that our responsibility is to show them unconditional love, just as Christ has modeled for us. But then it continues and we see that unconditional love is also personal. So we see Christ as he is initiating and he's surrendering to God's will. But then we get to even watch Christ model this hospitality. As we look at that, we know Zacchaeus' greatest need wasn't truly resources. He had riches. He was a tax collector and a wealthy one. And so the issue for him wasn't resources or money. What Zacchaeus needed was a relationship. And no amount of money could buy that. And yet here's Christ taking time personally to share time with him, to truly explain to him the gospel. And even as we watch this, we know then even the opportunity to meet someone's physical needs is never the end goal. But rather, meeting someone's spiritual needs ought to always be our goal as we're seeking to help someone. And so as we watch Christ, he even just includes Zacchaeus in his life. And what's amazing is once again, Christ models that for us. And so throughout Luke, we get to see this in chapter 17, chapter 14 and chapter 19. We get to see Christ displaying love through hospitality. And so what's amazing as we watch Christ do that is we know ourselves. If you've ever been new to an area and when someone does welcome you, oftentimes it might be an unsaved neighbor that maybe makes some cookies and bring them over. But we all know what it's like when someone steps out and shows you hospitality, when someone's welcoming to you, how much we enjoy that, how much we like that when you're new to an area. And so if unsaved people even recognize that, imagine how much more ought Christians who are supposed to be showing unconditional love, how much more should we be the first people to be showing hospitality, of initiating that love, of welcoming and greeting people, of showing unconditional love. And so as we look at that, even of Christ taking time, even just around a meal, something so ordinary as just spending time with Jesus, we understand that this wasn't just a one-time event, but throughout the Gospels, Luke spent time with sinners and ultimately spent time giving them a relationship and showing them to who he was. And so as we look at this, even one of the best ways in our lives to show unconditional love is to be personal. And certainly we want others to know of the gospel. And so oftentimes it might be an opportunity to give someone a tract. And yet so much more what people are looking for is a relationship, someone to be personal, to step into their lives, to sacrifice a little bit of their time to get to know them, to get to know their hurts, their needs, even their interests. And so as we watch Christ do this time and time again, it amazes us how impactful it was. And so as we see this with Zacchaeus' life, of how rejected he is, just taking that personal touch to spend time with Zacchaeus, we see how important it was. But what's amazing is that how radical it was for Jesus to do something like this. Time and time again, when Jesus would take time to eat with what the crowd would call sinners, this would make the leaders very, very mad. So even we watch the crowd, it says, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And so we understand that they were upset that Jesus would take time to eat with sinners. This isn't how society worked. But what's amazing is that Jesus was willing to put away all of these things. He didn't care what the people thought. I like how one author said of Jesus, and in talking about the different stories in Luke, and we see, and he says of Jesus, that Jesus got himself killed because of the way he ate. So it's interesting, and yet you model how radical it was and how offensive it was for Jesus just to take time to step into the homes of these sinners and to eat a meal with them. Yet as we look for opportunities around us to show unconditional love, oftentimes it could be just the simplest thing of having a meal with somebody that can go such a long way. It's amazing as Jesus has used something so simple as a meal. Most of us have 3 meals a day. And so even if we look at our week, 21 meals in a week, the opportunity even just to take one or two to share with somebody, whether it's within our church or a neighbor, just the opportunity to show that personal, unconditional love can go such a long way. And certainly even we know in life in 2021 and with COVID all around us, it certainly has made things more difficult. But it doesn't mean people are any less needing of relationships. And so it might be having to be creative in the way we do that. Yet we must be willing to always look for ways that we can show our unconditional love. As we watch Christ model this, just something that's personal can have such an impact on people and an opportunity ultimately to be able to open a door that we can share the gospel with them. We see then as well of Christ's example as he's modeling for us. We see then that unconditional love transcends public perception. It's important here because if Christ cared about what the crowd thought of him, there's no way he might have even taken a second glance at Zacchaeus. And so we watch that even as the crowd, and we've already seen this, their description of him. If Christ was trying to be popular, this certainly wasn't the way. It says, verse 7, and when they saw it, Zacchaeus interacting with Jesus, they all grumbled. And as we see the description, that he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And so as we watch that, we understand even throughout Luke, time and time again, Christ ignored what other people thought of him. We see Luke 5, verse 30. We watch the Pharisees and the scribes, they're grumbling at the disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And so we watch that. And then again, Luke 15, the Pharisees and the scribes, they complain saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So what's amazing about that is that if Christ was worried about what others thought of him, there's no way he would be taking time to eat with these tax collectors and sinners. And yet time and time again, that's exactly what he does. And so as we watch that, this unconditional love of Christ, it even might look radical to the society around us. It might not be the most popular thing, the most common thing, and yet Christ ignored that. His goal was simply to show this unconditional love. And as he does that, we get to watch as Christ moves from hospitality to Zacchaeus. We then get to see ultimately this even leading to salvation. As we imagine this, even the view of a sinner as the Pharisees would view Jesus. The crowd leaves no doubt of how they had viewed Zacchaeus and how upset they were then that Jesus was eating with Zacchaeus. You know, what's amazing of this is as Jesus is ignoring the public perception of him, we watch two very different responses to Jesus. So we watch Zacchaeus, who is joyfully receiving Christ and loving the opportunity to talk with Christ. And yet we watch the crowd. It couldn't be anything more than the opposite as they murmur and they grumble. And so Christ completely flips their approach upside down. The crowd's view towards Zacchaeus is to reject him and to ignore him. Christ's view of Zacchaeus is to embrace him and to invite him into a relationship. Yet as we see this, we know, what did Jesus come to call? We know that in Scripture it says Jesus came to call sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. And so we watch that on full display as the righteous all around are offended. And yet here's Jesus showing and modeling this unconditional love to the rejected Zacchaeus. So then lastly from the text, we see, we're watching the pursuit of the rejected, what Christ does to Zacchaeus. But then what's beautiful is the end of the story of what happens. We get to see the response of the rejected. It's beautiful as Luke shows for us then how Zacchaeus responds to this, this show of unconditional love. And it's a beautiful end of the story because we get to watch unconditional love that leads to joy. And so as we see this, verse 6, it says, so he hurried and came down and received him, Christ, joyfully. And so as you watch this, the rejected is now becoming welcomed. Even as Zacchaeus is receiving Christ joyfully. You're seeing the crowd, they're grumbling, they're scoffing, they're complaining. And yet you look at the unconditional love, the difference that it's made in this man, Zacchaeus. The one that was rejected is now joyfully receiving Christ. And yet when we look at other people, just imagine the opportunity that we could see joy come from the unconditional love we show them. You see Zacchaeus, he goes from being rejected and unwelcomed in the society around him, and yet he has joy from Christ showing this unconditional love. And so as we show our unconditional love, it ought to be our desire that they might come to know joy. They might come to know Christ as their Savior as well. And it's important because not every time that we show unconditional love do they respond in joy. Sometimes it might mean a door slammed in our face. And none of us like to be rejected when we're showing unconditional love. If we're sacrificing our time, we want to at least be appreciated. But not every time will that happen. And yet there are times where it could lead to open doors, where we could be able to show someone the gospel, even to where they come to put their faith and trust in Christ as their Savior. What an opportunity that would be, that as we are showing unconditional love in the manner that Christ has shown to us, wouldn't that be such an amazing opportunity to see it lead to joy in their lives, that their lives would be transformed by the love of Christ? And even as we think about that, as we have experienced the gospel, we have the greatest news in the world. And so when we look at other people, sometimes the rejected in our lives, they are just as needy as we once were. They're looking for satisfaction. We have the opportunity to show to them where they can find eternal joy, where they can find their satisfaction as well. And so we get to see what happens as Christ has modeled this unconditional love, that it leads to joy. But this unconditional love also leads to repentance. And we get to watch this unfold, because then in verse 8 it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor.'" So we get to watch this repentance, this change of mind in Zacchaeus' life. And what is amazing is that, see, Zacchaeus, and even as the text describes, isn't doing this to be saved. He's doing this because he has been saved, the result of what has happened. And as you watch the transformation that happens in Zacchaeus' life, as Christ has entered into his life, and we see, even as it says that salvation has come to this house, we get to watch then Zacchaeus is no longer caring about money. Even as you see what he's willing to do to give half of his goods to the poor, if he still cared about his riches, we see he wouldn't be willing to do this. And yet we see this transformation in his life. So we get to watch this unconditional love that leads to repentance. But then we also see an unconditional love that leads to change. Even so much, we see the title that Zacchaeus calls of his Lord. He says in verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord." It's important because as we're seeing the description of Jesus throughout this, now Zacchaeus is even viewing Christ as his Lord. He has surrendered everything in his life and is willing to claim Christ as his Lord. We get to watch all of this is because Christ has stepped into his life, is willing to show him unconditional love. But then lastly, we see that this unconditional love leads to salvation. So here is a rejected man, an unpopular and unwelcome man at the beginning of the story. And yet we end the story, as it says, verse 9, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham.'" As we watch that, we're seeing what happens when someone shows unconditional love. As we see that, that ought to be at the back of our minds, even why we show unconditional love. Christ has loved us unconditionally, and so it ought to be our joy to show unconditional love to others. And what an opportunity it would be if at times it might be a neighbor, even a family member, the opportunity to lead them to salvation by showing unconditional love. And yet here's what happens in Zacchaeus' story. And so ultimately then, as we get to the end of the story, we watch what happens as Christ shows unconditional love to Jesus. And so this whole story leads us to then one of the most well-known verses in Luke. And then it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And so as we look at that, we get to watch what happens when unconditional love is shown. Christ wouldn't be able to have come to seek and to save the lost if he wasn't loving people unconditionally. If he had put up those conditions, there's a rejected man, an unwelcome man, and so he put up those walls, or if he worried about what other people thought of him and put up those conditions, he wouldn't have been able to see the salvation of Zacchaeus. And yet, then as we look at our lives, we have to ask ourselves, are we showing our unconditional love unconditionally? And it's hard because there's, for each and every one of us, there's certain conditions that we just naturally put up. Certain obstacles that get in the way of showing love to someone. Yet as we look at Christ, it ought to remind us of what it looks like to be showing this love. So we have to ask ourselves, even willing to confess of areas in our lives, maybe that we, people in our lives, maybe that we've rejected, not willing to take the time to show them love. And as we do this and we look at Christ and continually try to model our lives after Christ, it opens our lives up to be welcoming, to be loving to those around us. The opportunity that we know we're not loving them simply because of some earthly desire, but rather because Christ has unconditionally loved us. And so we now can show that love to others. That unconditional love that we never deserved. So as we look at us and we ask ourselves of our love, is it unconditional? Are there any conditions that we're putting up to showing this unconditional love? So as we examine our lives, the opportunity then to even look around us, to look around our neighborhoods, our community, with fresh eyes, to view them the way Christ did, so that we can love others unconditionally. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at the person of Christ and what he has modeled before us, that he has, that you have loved us unconditionally. Lord, we pray that we would not keep that to ourselves, that we would look to those around us that we can love as well, that we would show that Christ-like love to those in our community. And so we just ask that you'd help us, even as a spirit that would remove areas in our lives, obstacles, conditions that we are putting up to showing that love. As the lost and dying world around us is desperate for relationships, for satisfaction, we pray that you would help us to show that love and ultimately to point others to the gospel as well, so that you will be glorified. We'll praise you for this in your name. Amen.